This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Going to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off.
Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there! Hardman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Yo, good morning, Portland. No, not Joe Fish. Joe Fish is out in some type of forest, lakefront, you know.
I like property. What you called it. White boy weekend.
It really is, man. Joe just doesn't like, oh, I'm just going to hang out with my son this weekend and we're just going to watch movies and everything. Nah, Joe likes to do these really extravagant things where it's the type of thing where you have to tuck your shirt in all the time. Like, that's where he is every weekend. I'm not going to, you know, no, I'm not going to front like he's somewhere.
Wearing a suit.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got a blazer on. I guarantee somewhere. And if nothing else, I guarantee his lady made him wear a blazer. At least.
Really?
I guarantee it.
I feel like he only wears the blazer like when he has to, like for like company pictures or like that really huge sales call that you know. You all dream about as kids, no. Like you do dreaming about hitting a game one walk-off home run in the World Series.
Joe's
like
a yuppie, so I guaranteed he's, he loves to... put on a lot of collared shirts, lots of blazers and stuff like that. Yeah, you see how he combs his hair, like the backwards kind of Charlie Sheen and Wall Street kind of look. So yeah, that's where Joe is right now. But hopefully he's having a great weekend, he and all of his guests. This is Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. I am your host for the day, Rashad Taylor. Behind the glass got my guy Jordan Schultz. What's up, bro?
Oh, it's good to be here with you, brother.
How you feeling, man? I know you're not feeling super well today, man. And not like a hungover.
No.
Well, like a...
Not feeling good enough to drink last night. Yeah, well, like...
That's always the worst.
You know, kind of like when you get that feeling, like after the amazing Ducks win yesterday, number one, and excited to see...
Number one and running, baby.
Excited to see how bad they beat up on Michigan, and we can talk about that coming up later in this hour next weekend. But yeah, kind of driving home last night, like felt that little, just not right. You know, you kind of like, uh-oh, like I'm starting to get this. I'm starting to get sick, and then I couldn't really sleep, and then this morning woke up with like that, you know, crappy bacteria taste. So it's just like, oh, my God. Yeah. Football Sunday, can it not be ruined, please?
No, did you, I mean, nowadays you just can't get regular sick. Did you take the swab?
Oh, yeah. No. Two. We actually just got two COVID tests, like two randomly sent to
somebody's
our house
just,
again.
Somebody's just...
Yeah, they're just mailing them out, which is fine.
I mean, I appreciate it. I didn't want to spend $24 at the store to get one. So
no,
yeah.
They're free. And I did take... I took the one and then the other one, like, what, 12 hours apart or whatever. I don't know if you're supposed to do it, like, 24 or 48 or 2 days apart or
something,
2 hours apart. But I took
the
two
rules
tests
keep changing.
And they're negative. So I feel like I've got the coldy flu or whatever the hell
it
is.
Well, here's the cold part. Like... People forget that the actual cold and flu still exist.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, I think now when people get sick, it's instantly like, uh-oh, I might have COVID. You know, stomach hurts. Uh-oh, let me go take a test.
But yeah, any of those symptoms.
The regular cold, common cold still exists, you know, out there for lots of us. So
the most annoying, too. It really, it's just like that, you know, a sore throat, I think, is like one of the, like, just... the most annoying things that like you could deal with, just kind of like first world problem type of thing.
Do you think that like women always complain that men when they get sick, like, oh, they're the biggest babies and they're the biggest everything.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
I'd say for me, yes. I turn into a giant wussy, which I'm sure is surprising to nobody here on 1080 The Fan. I love Hallmark Christmas movies.
Oh,
I'm all about good, lovey, touchy-feely stuff.
So you're really in touch with your emotions when you're going through it at that point.
Damn right. I'm excited for that Chiefs Hallmark Christmas movie coming out this season. No, but I do turn into a giant baby. My wife would attest to that, and I can't really deny it. I can't.
I don't know. It depends on how sick I am. See, I'm really independent, so at that point, I don't want to feel anybody to feel like they have to wait on me or something like that.
For sure.
Like, the one thing I don't want to do when I'm sick is go get stuff, though.
Like, exactly.
So if you can bring me some water, or if someone can bring me, like, you know, juice or the medicine, then I'll do that.
But or heading to the pharmacy, or like, can somebody?
I mean, at
that
point, I mean, if I'm not too sick, if it's not the vid, then I'll definitely get up and go to the store or, you know, whatever to get the things that I need. But still, man, like, that's the only part for me. Not necessarily. I don't really want anybody to like care for me like that. It's just, I don't feel like going to get that water. Would you mind? Like,
it's like, please, but just a little bit of help. Like, so you don't want to be waited on, but like, at the same time, a little bit at that point.
Yeah, I don't like feeling like that.
Yeah.
That I need somebody, I have to depend on someone in that situation. So I always try to like just thug it out a little bit when I'm sick. So hopefully you know, take care of yourself, Jordan, get yourself better. And hopefully all of you out there are taking care of yourself. Self-care is incredibly important at this time. Take it from me with everything that I've kind of had going. So, hey man, make sure you treat that cold, that cough. If you have to stay home from work, just do it.
I mean, I got a Halloween party to throw this Friday. So, like, I invited everybody from the station. I don't know if anybody will show
up. That's right,
but
man.
We'll have 20 people bumping at my house anybody here.
Where are you going to be for Halloween?
Jack and Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas. My wife bought the best Jack and Sally costumes off of Amazon. Like,
that's
with
awesome.
Like the big old, like, it's like a soft, like, you know, like, I don't, it's like a foam head that you put on, and then with the outfits. So,
yeah, I think me and my wife are going to be Ike and Tina.
Ooh.
Potentially. You know
I love
saying?
That. Did you see, and we'll talk about this, I've actually got a list of the best or the top Halloween costumes for this season to close out the show later on, Rashad, but did you see this tweet yesterday? The Halloween costume winner of 2024 already has been found, and it was the guy copying the French hurdler that didn't get over the bar because his mm-mm smacked it down. He was literally wearing a hurdler's outfit with a bulge and a bar attached to the bulge. I think that got like 4 million views on Twitter. I'll retweet it on the station page.
I wonder how many follows that guy got.
It was probably none. It's not. See, Twitter doesn't get you those follows. You just get the reactions from the picture. But
I'm talking about from the DMs from.
Oh, that was a fake bulge. Yeah. You could tell. You could tell.
Can you?
Yes, it was stuff.
I don't know. I didn't, you know.
Not necessarily like gazing at that stuff all the time, but you can tell when somebody shoves a roll of paper towels in there, and that's exactly what it looks like.
I mean, hey, man, you want to perform, you know? You want to perform well. You want to look good while you're doing it. And so, I'm not saying I would have done it, but I understand. I understand what he's doing, man.
Yeah, so, it's a good convo starter, isn't it? He's gonna end up somewhere.
Yeah,
or he did
end
up somewhere.
There's gonna be a lot of people that just want to find out.
Oh, so, can I touch your stick?
lucky him, you know. Lucky him.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, we got a dreary one in Portland right now for a couple reasons. One, because the weather is back. You know, we had that run of really, really nice October weather, and then all of a sudden, here we go. You know, lots of rain outside. What is
Except
it?
Except in Eugene yesterday. It was Except like pouring
was,
up here.
It was like beautiful. Like the gods shined down on Autzen Stadium yesterday, because even watching TV, I was like, is it not raining
It
here?
Never
like,
rains in Autzen Stadium. Yeah, God no, I mean, literally not, put the umbrella on it.
That's incredible. And because of it, man, the Ducks had an amazing game. We're going to talk about that game they had against the Fighting Illini yesterday at Autzen Stadium. Wasn't much of a game, but we'll still kind of dissect what we saw a little bit. Jordan and I have a pretty, not funny story, but interesting story about we got to hang out last weekend and took a trip up to Eugene. Took a trip to Corvallis, and went to go see the Beavs play.
Yeah, that was fun. Well, sort of fun.
Kind of an experience for the both of us. It was fun, but, you know, definitely experience. You got some highlights and really some lowlights, you know, from that trip. So talk a little bit about the top 25. What else we got today, Jordan?
Oh, we got a lot of stuff. Portland Trail Blazers, first two regular season games, Rashad. We're going
to
go.
It's hard to talk about the Blazers right now, especially during football, but we're definitely going to give them some Blazers, you know, today. So, obviously we got Who Do You Love, so get your picks in. You know, we're going to bet some fake money. At least I am. I'm not sure. Jordan might actually be putting money on
these
bets.
Be putting real money.
Yeah, he's actually putting real money. I myself am not that confident in my ability to pick winners every single week. Like, for whatever reason, my fantasy team, oh my God.
What's your record?
Man, 1-6.
Oh.
But here's the thing. In most games, I'm in the game until Monday night.
Oh, that's even more frustrating.
You know, Sunday night.
Giant teases.
And then everything kind of just collapses for me and everything. So, this year has been bad. This year has been bad. I'm not sure about you. And I'm only in one league this year. Like, I just decided, all right, put all my eggs into just this one basket. Yeah. Like, try not to be too good of a GM everywhere else. And it really backfired on me because I am not doing well right now.
It's okay, dude. It's honestly a crapshoot. I feel like the one year I had my draft set to, like, random and I didn't show up for it, I actually made the playoffs and got, like, a payout in my league. So it really is just... Man, you don't know. Like how many players are down already that were like top 10 picks in fantasy earlier this season?
Oh, man. Here's the cool part. When we did the draft, my draft was the third best draft of 10 people.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, okay, so I got all the right pieces, so I thought. And
then three of them get hurt.
Well, actually, nobody's gotten hurt. Everybody just sucks. Outside, with the exception of Lamar Jackson, who I have, who's been great for me, all season. Even during the losses that Lamar Jackson, I know, even during the losses that Lamar Jackson had, he was great for me. What's not so great has been my Rome Odunze pick. Which was really like touted by like, oh, this is a great pick by Yahoo. It was like, yeah, we love this one.
Yeah, rookie wide receiver got up on the boards in this year. It was weird.
I mean, I think everybody thought that he was going to be Caleb's number one target, this year. And clearly that's not the case, but at least they're winning in Chicago. So shout out to them. But just a lot of like missteps so far. And
don't start Taysom Hill.
Not start Taysom Hill at any position, whether you want that to be quarterback or tight end. It is probably not going to end well for you. But where are you sitting right now with fantasy?
Oh, I'm like 3-4, something like that. It's just not great. But I still have a shot, I guess, to turn it around. But there's one guy undefeated in our league, and I play him this weekend. And he's, I think, projected to score like 30 more than I am. And it's just like, geez, I suck. Okay. It sucks because I had Nico Collins. He's down right now. Tyreek Hill hasn't had anybody throwing him the ball. I mean, maybe that's going to change with Tua coming back today. But like, so Tyreek's been good for nothing. I had Javonte Williams, who just got suspended. Javonte Williams, I'm thinking of for the Broncos, who I sat last week when he had his breakout performance, and then the other Williams for Detroit that I had on my team just got suspended for two games because of performance enhancing drugs, something like that.
Yeah. I think so. So yeah. Shout out to fantasy football and all the fantasy players that love to go through this stress every single Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night. So we love you guys. Shout out to y'all. So coming up next, man, the Ducks had a huge win at home against another Big Ten opponent. Man, is this one of the best number one Ducks team we've seen of the three that there have been? We'll talk about that next. Coming up right here, Football Sunday on the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Correction, Football Sunday with Sean Schultz. That's how this is going to go today.
Much better.
Because Joe is out, and so who cares where he is right now, right? As long as he's safe, and yeah, we're all good, man. But the Ducks, man, they just keep rolling along. Ooh, they beat up on Illinois yesterday at home, 38-9. This team just continues to look more and more impressive every week. I remember at the beginning of the season, we talked about how concerned we were with the offensive line. And the offensive line not really being able to block, for Dylan Gabriel and him having no time to really get rid of the ball, really no time to let plays develop. And we've thrown that out the window because I think this offensive line really since the Ohio State game 3 weeks ago has shown that they are legit. They are a real unit. And because of that, man, the Ducks just can do really whatever they want, whether it's running the ball, whether it's giving Dylan Gabriel some time to throw it, And then you got these just incredible receivers, you know, to be able to make plays. We forget how good Patrick Herbert is, and then all of a sudden he makes a big play, a big catch, and you're like, oh, okay. He does still play for them, huh?
Yeah, like, you know, third tight end on the depth chart, and he's not still there, yeah.
Yeah, and he's still, and that's what they have. They have a lot of depth right now, and they're really flexing it. You know, you have, like I said, a stable of stud receivers, and sometimes they don't have the games they're looking for, but yesterday you saw Tez Johnson, you know, 102 yards in a tutty. He's incredible, so we'll probably see him play at the next level at some point. But Dillon Gabriel, man, that kid, man, he just continues to impress. 18 of 26 for 3 touchdowns. He did throw a pick in between there.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an underthrown ball there.
Yeah, he did. He did throw that pick, you know. But other than that, like, he played as well as you want a Heisman candidate to play in a big game. I think this might be the year. I don't want to, and I wish there was some wood I could knock on and everything like that. But we've seen some Duck teams that have been very, very talented. And, you know, we've seen the obviously the 2010 team that was really underrated as far as, like, the number one programs that were around, just because I think a lot of people didn't believe in Darren Thomas. But Darren Thomas took this team to the national championship and really had a close game. Right. You know, that's the Cam Newton game. And if he hands the ball, was, I think it was to either Josh Huff or I can't remember, the it was kind of a Seahawkish play, you know, on the goal line. And Darren Thomas decided to keep the ball instead of handing it off. And, you know, that may have been a national championship for that team at that point, you know. So and then you talk about that 2012 squad. With Mariota, you know, they were ranked number one for, you know, all of 6 weeks of the season, and then went to number two and kind of stayed there for the rest of the year. But this team is probably I don't want to say they're the most balanced, you know, at this point, but you're watching them. You're not watching them run through the Pac-12. They're not beating up on Arizona, and they're not beating Washington State. They're not beating Oregon State, although they did beat Oregon State. Man, they're going in there, either home or away, and they're beating Ohio State. You know, you're handling the number 20 team in the country, Illinois, who I think a lot of people kind of felt this was like a trap game, potentially, coming off a couple big wins. Like, this could be the game where they just kind of let their guard down, and they did the opposite. And they didn't let them believe that they were even close to being in this game. And Illinois is a great team. Illinois is 6-1 coming into this game. So they were no slouch. It wasn't a pushover team. And you saw Oregon handle it. I'm looking at this team saying, you're showing you can beat the upper echelon competition throughout college football. I don't see why they can't go to and win the national championship this year.
To first address where you started with the offensive line, absolutely short up. There's no questions now. I think I heard Will Ortner say on last night's Ducks postgame scoreboard show that he counted like 8 Mississippis at one point for Dillon Gabriel that he had to throw the ball. Like, that is unheard of. And you usually can't recover, or you can't cover a receiver for more than like 3 or 4 seconds. At that point, they will start to break out of the route. It becomes like video game football. You know, the quarterback moves out of the pocket, and then you usually get a big play. And that happened a couple of different times last night, but Dillon Gabriel just had, I would say, almost an unlimited amount of time to throw the ball, which is huge, because this is, now you're talking about the Big Ten, this isn't a Pac-12 league anymore. These are bigger teams up front. This is just a whole different system of football that Oregon's moving into. However, it's looking very similar, at least results-wise, to Oregon beating up on fellow Pac-12 opponents when they were in that conference, that were coming up through the year being, you know, touted as like, oh, hey, kind of 3-4 games into the season, they're the 20th team in the nation, they're the 15th team in the nation. Now you're seeing it, and this is a fighting Illini team, excuse me, that knocked off Nebraska earlier this season. They took Michigan out of the top 25. They beat Kansas for their second game of the year. Like, nothing to sneeze at here. Illinois is good. And I'm not saying that they're amazing, you know, but like, Brett Bielema had the worst ever halftime deficit in his career yesterday against the Ducks. Like, that was unheard of for Oregon to beat up on Illinois, but especially like a Big Ten team like that now, 2 weeks in a row after the Purdue game, now you go into Illinois, you see what Oregon is establishing in that front seven, and the offensive line is amazing. Absolutely. I totally agree. You saw Justice Lowe starting really to, I would say like his emergence now is complete as a new top wide receiver option. Your wide receiving room so deep now, it's almost like Trayshawn Holden is close to getting Wally pipped at this point. Mm-hmm. If, you know, because you got Evan Stewart, you got Tez Johnson, like you said, he's going to be in the league next year. And now you got Justice Lowe, the young sophomore from Portland, Oregon. He's up on the list now. So you still got Holden there. And then, like you said, even without Terrence Ferguson yesterday, Kenyon Sadiq and Patrick Herbert making a huge impact. Is this Oregon's best overall number one team? I think so. I think just the makeup alone, you've got 4 and 5 star guys, two positions deep. It's something that when Alabama was winning a championship that's how their depth chart was stacked. But then beyond that, Rashad, you've now seen Oregon sitting at 8-0, the number one team in the nation, really, I would say, answer the questions of any haters or national media that were wondering where Dan Lanning was headed, if he's going to be able to get wins.
Coach of the year.
In big football games. Absolutely.
Coach of the year.
At this point, if they continue to play like they have, But the, just really quickly, just the way that Oregon's team, first, just made up of really great recruits, now moving into the conversation of, no, this team, not just good on paper, but really good on the field and is going to make noise in the college football playoff. I think the transition for Dan Lanning to like being like one of the elite head coaches is almost complete. And yeah, this is the best number one team Oregon has ever had, period.
Yeah, it is. It really, I mean, obviously, we can go through position by position and be like, okay, well, he's better than him, and he's better than him, you know. So I think all of us would take Marcus Mariota over Dylan Gabriel right now. And that's not a diss towards Dylan Gabriel, but you're talking about the greatest Oregon quarterback that's, you know, ever existed at this point. So that's, again, no diss to him. But if you're, we can go position by position. It's like, would you rather have Josh Huff, or would you rather have, you know, Tez Johnson right now? It's like, whatever. I think a lot of Duck purists would probably say Josh Huff, but there's something special about Tez Johnson, and you can see it. So we can go player for player and be like, maybe, maybe not. But overall, like you said, Jordan, I think this team has got it. And then on the defensive end, I think that's the where Oregon has never been known as a defensive juggernaut. Right. You know, like it's always been offensively it's is true. Where they shine. No, what they what how they stood up against Ohio State, you know, how they stood up against a really good Illini, how they stood up against a great running back in Genty from Boise State.
Boise State. Top like, three so, in the Heisman voting.
So, I mean, so I think they've been tested. They can continue to be tested, you know, every week. What's the freshman from Ohio State, the receiver? Like he's had a hell of a game. Against Oregon, but yeah, I think every week there's a new test for them, and they just continue to kind of pass with flying colors. And so I'm not usually this time of year, I'm kind of like, well, this is the week that it falls off, you know, and this is the week that it's, you know, they get to, you know, too big for themselves, and they go out there and they lay an egg. Like we've seen it happen before. And then, you know, they play a Utah and it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, you play Washington and you lose by three. It's like, come on. You were right there.
2012, you know? They were number one going into their game against Stanford. They lost that game. Yeah, it's just
game,
it's know? Like been almost a repeat of the same story.
Yeah, and so, but now here they are 8-0, you know, and the best team in the land. And if you're a Ducks fan, you have to be happy right now, you know, because it looks like, for all the years we've been watching Oregon, and really, I'll say one team that I don't think they were ranked number one at some point, but they might have been. I doubt it, though. But that 2001 Ducks team.
Oh, yeah, the Harrington
Yeah,
led.
With Joey Harrington and Jonathan Stewart.
When they
and all
missed out
guys.
On the national championship, went to the Fiesta Bowl.
When they should have been playing Miami in the national championship that year. I think that team was more than legit, you know, at that point. But I think this is Oregon's best opportunity, and I think we're all, whether you're probably not a Beaver fan, but everybody else here in the state of Oregon has really caught on, and I think now they've made everybody believers. You know, for a long time, it's like, okay, you can beat Ohio State. But they continue to roll, and I think now everybody is aware of that little team out there in Autzen, Oregon.
To respond to Jake the Hater on YouTube, he says, if Illinois is great, then so is Mizzou. Now, I'm not saying, if I said Illinois is great, I apologize. Illinois is good, all right? And frankly, teams from the Big Ten are better than teams from the Pac-12. And my point is that Oregon not only is beating these teams, but Rashad, their defense is all, like, specifically all on the same page. When Tysheem Johnson got that pick yesterday of Altmyer, it was, I don't know if you saw, but as the play was happening or as it started, you saw three or four different Oregon defensive guys basically waving over, getting their hands over to adjust. They recognized the play and then literally intercepted the pass because they knew exactly what was coming. Their communication's great. The Ducks' preparation by the coaching staff is on point. And the physicality, physicality now in this Big Ten league that you're it's a different. Conference that you're going to need to win is different. And look at what Noah Whittington did yesterday. Look at what Derek Harmon's been doing all season. This Oregon team is the most physical team I've ever seen. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is they can beat teams like Illinois, like Purdue, which are traditionally way more physical than the Arizona States and the Cals of the world.
Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree with my guy, Jake the Hater, because yes, this Illinois team beat some really good teams. You know, if you're ranked within the top 25, you are a great team. How many teams are there in college football?
120 something.
That's a lot of teams.
27.
So to tell me that you're one of the best 25 teams in college football is saying something. And guess what? Coming into the season, Illinois beat the number 19 team. They beat the number 22 team. They beat the number 24 team. The only team they lost to was a really good Penn State team that a lot of people expect a lot from, you know, moving forward for the year. Still one of the – Penn State still undefeated, right? No.
Oh, yeah. They got the win
Penn
yesterday.
State still, yeah, Penn State still
undefeated. It was undefeated. A little bit of a struggle early, but they ended up winning 28.
So the two teams that they lost to were the two teams that are still undefeated right now. I think that's, you know, pretty legit right now. So, I mean, maybe not a great team, but hell, top 25 of 125, 27 teams or whatever. Yeah, that's pretty damn legit to me. So, coming up from a team that's the number one in the nation to maybe the number 49, 52?
Oh, it might be worse than that after yesterday.
Well, we're going to talk some beefs because that season might be over at this point. And so we'll talk about that coming up next. But first, Jordan has sports. Get your morning going with some good old Tupac. Pitching me rolling.
Yes, please.
You a Pac fan?
Oh, I love Tupac. Tupac, Biggie. That's when I just want to relax, like, but I don't want to, like, go too hard, but, like, I still kind of want to feel it. Yeah, that's good stuff to put
whoa.
On.
Whoa. Pause.
What I mean, like, whatever. Yeah, pull that. I got it. It's a drop. But, yeah, like, when you're in a mood, just, you don't really want to, like, you know, go rage party, but, like, you want to, you know, like, get a good vibe going. It's,
yeah. I know all about it, man. You know, we had a nice little car ride together last week,
yeah.
Jordan and I, and lots of
good tunes, by the way.
Man, you know, I like a very a nice mix of music. So we had some rap going, we had some R&B, we had some, I don't know.
Finished it up with some 90s music on the way back, dude.
Yeah,
I loved
man.
It.
Yeah, it was. We were all out there, man. So we went to Corvallis to go see Oregon State play my alma mater, the UNLV running Rebels. Go Rebs. And gotta say, man, like, number one, shout out to Oregon State for the upgrades to your stadium.
Does look really nice.
Going to Reser always felt like a huge downgrade from going to Autzen. It almost kind of looked like a high school stadium or something like that. Like, one side just had some bleachers, you know, just to kind of sit in.
It just looked unfinished.
It just looked like they were like, yeah, this is good enough. We'll take it from here. But no, they've made some renovations. They've put some food in there. That the Qdoba that was inside is the don't eat that, but there's some other stuff in there that was kind of cool. Overall, it just wasn't like, and UNLV is a good team. And I would say that UNLV, unfortunately, we lost a tough one yesterday to Boise State by 6, you know, and that really, really, that sucked because I thought we were going to win that game in the third quarter, and then Boise State scored that fourth quarter touchdown, and it just kind of, there goes that 6-2 for UNLV. But coming into that game, they were 6-1, just on the outside of the top 25, hoping to get inside. And kind of kind of dominated, you know, the Beavs, and the score was closer than, you know, than it actually was. But, man, like, overall, I thought that's where we saw the wheels fall off for Oregon State. Like, I mean, after that, you know, obviously they followed up yesterday or last week's loss with another loss to Cal, and Cal absolutely wiped the floor with Oregon State, 44-7. Cal is a 4-4 team. Now, Jake the Hater, that's not a good team. Cal is not a great team, or not, you know, at all, but they still came in, scored 14 in the first, 17 in the second, 10 in the third, and then a nice little field goal in the fourth quarter just to cap it off. They did whatever they wanted to this Oregon State team, and we saw up close, like, Javonte McCoy just can't throw the ball.
Not really. He can't throw the ball. Superior competition, no. He had a great sophomore year at Idaho, but it seems to be a struggle for him moving up a level of competition.
Yeah, he can't throw the ball, and that was a huge...
Nor did he have much time to throw the ball.
He didn't have much time, and really, you know, they had to go back to Ben Gulbranson. You know, and whenever you have to go back,
is it 2020 really?
It is. It's something like that. But, you know, at least he didn't throw any interceptions. You know,
no, but he sucked.
Yeah, he wasn't great. 11-for-20, 131 yards through the air and a touchdown. But that obviously, I think they had much bigger problems than Ben Gulbranson. Oregon State, who has always been kind of touted as this, you know, the school for, you know, these incredible running backs, at least over the last couple of years. Anthony Hankerson yesterday, 16 carries for 49 yards, his worst performance of the year.
They didn't have
Jam. Jan Griffin playing either. So not a great performance, you know, running the ball. Obviously, receiving, if you only throw for 131 yards, probably not going to be a great game either. And on the other side, Cal's Fernando Mendoza had a great game through the air and threw two touchdowns and almost 400 yards, 364 yards in the air.
Did you see the first touchdown of the game?
I did.
Yeah, that was kind of disheartening, I think, if you're Oregon State, right?
I did.
A little lateral from basically a near-the-ground running back to Mendoza, who ran it in wide open for like 10 yards in for the touchdown.
Yeah, it wasn't a great watch. And, you know, by the time it got to the end of the second half, I was like, I think I don't have to watch this anymore. I can turn this off, you know. And I'm wondering what happened, you know, because we had a lot of expectation for Oregon State coming into the year, just considering the year that they had last year, you know. So I think this year you're expecting 10, 11 wins, you know, with the schedule that they have. And, you know, I think they can still get to, what, 8? You know,
I mean, yeah,
like
they
that.
Can get to a bowl.
They can get to a bowl, you know, and it's going to mean something. But at this point, you've already lost your big game to U of O third week of the season. So that really celebratory last game that you have, you know, to at least kind of end the season on a possible high note, that's over. You don't have that anymore. So there's no Civil War game or Platypus Bowl or whatever we're calling it now. That doesn't really exist for you to get excited about. So how excited can you be about playing in the Jimmy Kimmel Las Vegas Bowl?
Whoa. I mean, going to Vegas would be fun. I think that'd probably be the highlight of these kids' year for Oregon State. But if you're asking how they got here, there's been a couple of reasons that I think you can attach to that. First of all, there's been anonymous reports kind of just floating out around there from sources that I've had close to the program since Trent Bray took over, that the organization to start, you know, spring ball, trying to establish a new regime under Bray, bringing in the new quarterback coach and offensive coordinator in Ryan Gunderson, didn't really go too well. The communication wasn't great. The structure of practices reportedly, and this is just according to anonymous sources, you know, close to me that I have heard that know the program and know what's going on there. So just a lack of organization from the start. You know, you've got an inexperienced head coach that I'm not trying to knock Trent Bray, but I'm not sure he was necessarily ready to become a head coach. We haven't really seen it from this point, you know, or to this point this season. Like, I could still be proven wrong, but along with a lack of organization, organization from the start. You obviously just don't have the talent that you did. You were gutted. All your good players basically left. These are all the guys that, you know, minus like Hankerson and Griffin, these basically are all the guys that are the leftovers for Oregon State. Leftovers from other teams. Javonte McCoy looked to be a good pickup, but if you don't have an offensive line and you just got to run all the time, well, you're going to basically experience middle of the season what Cal did to you. You're going to get sacked and they're going to spy you the entire game. Javonte McCoy ran for minus 4 yards yesterday. He was not able to get out into the open field at all like we saw, and that was the reason Oregon State actually came back and, you know, made it a game against UNLV. I think they had a play, what, like a 4th-and-1 with a second to go with a possibility to tie it with a successful 2-point conversion, and that was because Javonte McCoy made a difference on the ground. But if you have no wide receivers, if your best receiver is a white guy, you know, that you're basically throwing to because you've got no one else and you've got to run all the time and your two-headed running back attack is halfway down, you're screwed. And I've heard bad things as well from different people on Twitter were saying it looked like Oregon State players quit during the game yesterday, which I did watch some of the highlights. And I will say from my vantage point, the effort didn't necessarily look like it was there. But, you know, that could be for a myriad of reasons. Injury, like they may be not listening to the coaches anymore. Like what I'm talking about, the communication, not really great from the start. It's a tumultuous time at Oregon State. And Rashad, can I add, seems to me that the main reason that Oregon State Beavers fans go to Reser Stadium, correct me if I'm wrong on this, is to drink. Like literally I saw puke in a porta potty covered falling out of the front of the porta potty, as well as seeing some other dude fall on me, literally on me. Thank God he hit me and not the car, the concrete. Otherwise his head might've been a little less okay, but dang, like it was a different vibe. It was a different vibe last Saturday.
It was a different vibe, but not like even like a, and this is no diss. Maybe it is. I'm sorry. Sorry, B fans, but, for a school that's supposed to be a party school.
Yeah.
Because let's be real, Oregon State has always been considered the more party school than OU. I'll go on record and say I've had more fun at Oregon State than I have at U of O.
Ditto.
As far as partying.
I can add to that.
Like
yeah,
that.
Ditto.
Y'all's tailgate was trash. It was no excitement. There was no energy.
It was a very lowly, yeah.
Really like, what is this? Like, it was mad easy to park. It was super easy to get out. Like,
we got out in 15 minutes.
And it only took 15 minutes because we had to walk for 12.
It's true, exactly.
You know, so we walked for, you know, a few minutes.
Parked in some lady's driveway for 20 bucks.
Shout out to the people smart enough to know you can make a lot of money on game day by letting people park in your driveway. Shout out to you. But yeah, it was just kind of overall, there was no Wi-Fi inside of the stadium. I was like, man, I couldn't get pictures. I couldn't send anything, couldn't check bets.
It was the
weirdest thing. Oregon State, like, you know, I'll give you a B plus for your upgrades and renovations for sure. But just aesthetics, you know, inside, once you get inside you get like a C minus.
I mean, I feel bad for Oregon State fan. I get that it's been a rough week. The schedule next year for them doesn't look good.
You don't have to go there though. Like, I get it. Like, but
no,
you know,
but I want to do a service to Beaver fan here.
You know,
I
there's a cooler school that has way cooler stuff that's like an hour away. Not even an hour away, like maybe 45 minutes away. You can go there. Like, I mean, they've got cool stuff. They got cool arenas, cool buildings, cool jerseys. Like, I mean, they got a cool little area to eat your food. And so, like, I'm sorry, Beaver fan. I'm not going to do that to you guys today. But, get it together. 3 losses in a row. I think a lot of the state of Oregon expected a little bit more from you at this point. So.
Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6FAN.
I'm sorry. I know it's going to be bad.
He says, what happened is they suck and have always sucked. They just suck more now.
Yeah, I guess, man.
I guess.
Well, the Pac-2, you know.
Derek Anderson was good for a while. Great. Dennis Erickson, Mike Riley were okay. But,
it was like 20 years ago. Yeah. So moving on. Who do you love? There are some games. We're going to pick them. Hopefully we help you out with some bets and kind of go from there, man. So that's going to happen.
Hold on. And one more quick response on the Vancouver Ford text line to the texter that says, 1 year ago, the Beavers were in the top 12. Now they're in hell. Give them a break. You guys are wholly unreasonable. Did I not just say they were gutted? Did I not just say that?
They were.
I think I pointed out very succinctly that all their players, like Yeah. No more Damian Martinez, who you thought that you were going to keep him, and no offensive line, no wide receivers of like any talent to speak of. Like, yes, you were last year and you got gutted this year and the coaching staff was not ready to take over.
So again, I had some expectations for the Beavs just based on how well they played last year and really how well they played to start the year, you know, against Idaho State and San Diego State. They're going to have a chance to redeem themselves. They can still roll off 4 wins in a row and, you know, make this a savable season with 8 wins. So next week they've got 2 weeks they got San Jose State, so maybe a week off for them.
Yeah, good time for a bye.
Exactly. A week off for them will do some good. Be able to kind of, you know, get their head straight and get ready to host San Jose State on the 9th. So, yeah, on the CW Network. Okay, coming up, who do you love? That's next on Football Sunday on the Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
My favorite song, my favorite segment. This is Who Do You Love? We go through some NFL picks, or now that the season started, we can also pick some NBA picks for you as well. But for the sake of today, we're going to go just NFL. We'll save the NBA picks for next week as teams kind of really start to find their groove. Hopefully the Blazers can do that. Probably not.
Getting called idiots and told to F off on the Vancouver Ford text line is pretty fun.
Oh, well par for the course, man.
Yeah, that's Beaver fan.
That must be, right. Sorry about it, man. Just get some Wi-Fi and you guys will be fine, you know, over there. That's all I say. Joe Fish happened to send in his picks because, he wants to make sure he had to be involved anyway. So, Ravens, Cardinals, Ravens are -8. So he said he's going to do that.
The Ravens, you mean Browns?
No, he said, Ravens, is it Ravens? Excuse me.
I was like, the Cardinals are playing the Miami Dolphins.
I'm sorry, I read the text wrong.
Again.
I just read the text wrong. Ravens, Browns, Ravens -8. That's where Joe is going to go.
I like that play.
For my first one, I'm going to go Miami, Arizona. The over-under is 46.5. I'm taking the under. Miami hasn't scored a whole lot of points over the last few weeks. Tua's coming back, though, so we'll see how much that impacts them. But I'm taking the under today.
My first one, I think it's a pretty easy over. The Bears v. Commanders over 43.5. Getting that number on most betting sites still at this point really quickly before we start play. It's, I think, going to be very high scoring regardless of if it's Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota at quarterback for the Commanders, Caleb Williams, and the, I'd say, sometimes exciting Chicago Bears and sometimes not, do seem to be able to score.
They're playing well, though, so far.
Exactly. No, I mean, 4-2 under Matt Eberflus, pretty surprising for the Bears. That kind of making me lean into the over here. Bears v. Commanders, 43.5.
Joe's second one says he's got Arizona, just like me, Arizona, Miami, and he's taking the Dolphins. The over under is 46.5, and he's taking the under.
So he's doing the same thing you are. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like it, man. I feel like that's easy money today. For me, the second one, I'm going to go all over unders today. The second one for me is I'm taking Houston hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Houston is the third highest scoring team in the league. The over under is 45.5. I am taking the over today.
Nice. My second one's Packers v. Jaguars. It's down to a -3 spread for the Green Bay Packers. I do think that they're going to win. They've won their last 3. Been rushing the ball pretty well. Jaguars, unfortunately, I mean, not good anywhere, but not really good at home this year either. Green Bay's D, I think they're going to make a difference. And they've had a nice offensive surge with Jordan Love coming back. So I think the Packers to cover against Jacksonville in Jacksonville, that's a risky pick, a road cover, but I think it's going to happen for the Packers
today.
The
funny thing is Joe Fisher agrees with you. And he's also taking the Packers, you know, -3.5, you know, today.
Well, it got down to 3, so I wonder if he got it in. Yeah, like I just looked at it and put in a parlay with a -3. Yeah, so
okay. Well, we're just going to go ahead and say he said three as well. You know,
we'll give him the three.
We'll give him the three if that's what it is. For my last pick, man, it's actually the lowest over under of the week, you know, so far. And it is the Monday night matchup. And it's Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the New York Giants. Neither team really knows how to score at this point. I don't really know if they have the Malik Nabers might be the best person, you know, on the field for either team. So the over under is 36.5. I'm going to take the over today because I think both teams will score, you know, right around, let's say 20 points, 21 points. Yeah. Let's say that. Or at least one of them. I think one team is going to have a big game.
This is a bit of a risky one, but I'm looking at the afternoon slate here. I had originally put Bills Seahawks on my list, but each time I look at the Kansas City Las Vegas matchup, I just think it is a tasty 8.5 point spread. I know once again Kansas City is on the road, but the Raiders have been absolutely terrible. They don't have a quarterback. They just traded their best wide receiver. I don't know what Antonio Pierce is trying to do as far as like a rebuild goes.
Cleaning house
without a quarterback. Like I guess they're just trying to draft somebody this coming year, right? But that doesn't mean they're going to win today, and I don't think they're going to be able to score many points today. Chiefs covering the 8.5 in Vegas.
Well, there you have it, folks. That is Who Do You Love? We got all our picks in. Hopefully you got yours in too. Games are going to start in about 4 minutes, so Woo-hoo. Go ahead and get your picks in. Make sure you get your fantasy lineup all squared away. You do not want to be one of those people that starts at 10:01 and forgot to change your receiver
because literally somebody doing has, that right now.
Because somebody is on a bye. So you don't want to be that guy, not this week at least. So coming up next, Hour 2, Football Sunday. Man, we're moving right along. We're moving right along, man. There's a lot going out there, man. Are we I'm going to talk some Blazers, man.
We're going to talk some Blazers. We're going to talk some baseball as well.
Okay. We're going to talk some Blazers. We're going to talk some baseball. The Yankees are up against it, man. They're on their way back to the Bronx. Down 0-2. LA fans are loving life right now because looks like the Dodgers are two games away from claiming the first World Series in what, just a couple years? A few years?
I think their last one was the pandemic 2020 shortened season to 4 years.
Yeah, that's so this is going to be considered the legit World Series championship. So we'll see, man. We got a lot happening right now in sports, and we're going to talk about it all with you. That's coming up next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.